You know you love us.
We'll get into Ariana Grande in a second. Hi, everyone. Oh, wait, that's an Elphaba. You were singing Elphaba, not
that's
Glinda.
Okay. Anyways. That's okay.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of You Know You Love Us. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Tyler.
Well,
I wish we had sock puppets. Like, what if that was the gag? Is that actually this entire time? I know you have a sock puppet. We recorded with sock puppets while we were recapping the entire time. And we told no one until 3 years in.
Whoa.
Can you believe the gag?
I wish we had done that.
I know. I'm sad.
It's like, I didn't say it. My puppet said it.
Right. I didn't what say if- one bleep, please.
Yeah, I feel
Patricia
like our puppets
said it.
Yeah, Patricia. Okay, sorry, before this thought goes away,
yep,
I'm sick of the Ariana Grande Glinda content. And look, I respect that you're into it. She bugs the shit out of me. I think she's been culturally appropriative for 10 years and has never once had to answer for it. And now just gets to be Glinda. Yes. Like, fuck off.
I am here for that 100%. Here's the reason I post the content. Here's why I'm there. Fucking Cynthia Erivo.
And now we said it.
And fucking Bowen Yang. Like, that's why I'm there.
Who's he playing?
Galinda's best friend. And I don't remember the character's name. I wish I was more of a Wicked head.
You know, I told you there's a rumor that Charlie Puth is playing Bach. And I don't think that's real. But if it is, I would.
You'll die.
I mean, talk about defying gravity. I would levitate.
Literally levitate. Speaking of levitate, we'll get to that in Gossip Girl in a minute. But no, I'm there for Cynthia Erivo. Here, I have so many concerns about this movie. Mm-hmm. Namely, that in my mind, Galinda not only is arguably the harder role to sing, even though, like, you better do it. You better come as Elphaba in a very different way. It's harder in a different way.
Yeah.
But acting wise, I think it is so much harder. Like, the blueprint of Galinda is one of the greatest comedic character actors of all. That would be like someone playing Jack in Will and Grace, right? It's how do you do that in a way that doesn't seem forced and, like, difficult? Like, I feel like you'll see Galinda's, this is a Wicked podcast, you'll see Galinda's where they're, like, trying to make the bits work and it feels so overwrought.
When they do the ball gown moment with the wand, I'm like, yes.
I saw an actor last year who did it, and she was fucking great. It was so easy, and I was like, you were meant to play this role. Like, it just sits in you. But, like, the fucking timing and the acting of it, I'm very concerned about. I know she can sing it. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. But, like, Cynthia Erivo is icon legend Cynthia Erivo in acting and singing.
You know?
I'm like, I just...
We're not worried about her.
No, we're not worried about her. I just hope that Ari ends up rising to that occasion.
I mean, I think, like, Ari is, like, I think based on her time on SNL and her millions of times flirting with Jimmy Fallon, like, she fancies herself a comedy girl. And I do think she's funny. Like, I'm not going to lie.
She's funny.
But I'm interested to see what she brings to Glinda as opposed to, I don't know, like, some, like, amalgamation of, like, Kristen Chenoweth's choices. You know what I just think? And honestly, like, credit to her. I think it has to be really fucking hard to play a role that's so iconic.
Yes.
And, like,
oh my
that,
God.
Like, if you grew up as a kid listening to Kristen Chenoweth sing it in your headphones every night falling asleep, like some of us on this podcast did.
Yes.
It would be very hard to be like, I'm going to take some creative liberties because I am an actor and I'm going to make this my own.
No, I would never. I would steal everything she did ever.
Same. Which also... every actor does. I feel like Michael Caine said that in, like, an acting video from, like, the 70s where he's like, stale it.
I steal everything.
Everyone steals everything. Nothing is original.
Backstage at Cherry Orchard with imaginary binoculars, yeah, being like, stealing that, stealing
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Oh, that person's a genius. That. Obsessed. Because oh, okay, also it's going to be different when you do it. That's the beauty of art.
Exactly. That's the, and that's the beauty of art.
And that's the beauty of art. Wait, I know we have to get going.
I know.
Wait, last comment. Let fuck. Do you,
Ari,
it escapeth.
Choices. Acting, also choices, an actor.
You know, I get horny talking about this. I know. I'm like, it makes me randy.
It makes me randy to think about fucking Vanderpump Rules and how James Kennedy's girlfriend is the fuck. She is Carmen.
She's
San
the whistleblower.
Diego, she's the whistleblower. Toot toot, babe. She fucking called it, and I love it.
I literally
was salivating and watching the preview.
I know. I love that she was just like sitting there, like yeah, so cute, being like, yeah, I just, it would make me uncomfortable. I was like, oh.
She sees shit, man. She's quiet and she sees shit.
She's a psychic. She's a tarot reader and a psychic. She's going full. That's a raven. She was yes, at the Abbey and went, oh, and she looked into yes, nowhere and saw like, the future.
Oh. Yeah. 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 She's giving Ides of March. She is giving Julius Caesar soothsay.
Oh
yeah,
my God. She is one of the witches in Macbeth.
Listen, and there we said it. He said, you're going to see a forest of trees, bitch. And those trees are Raquel and fucking Tom Sandoval making out at the damn Abbey.
Yeah.
Watch
and
out.
You know, no offense to the, you know, the witches of WeHope, you know, one Kristen Doty, one sure, Stassi Schroeder, one sure, Music Kills Kate. But sure, I would say the witchiest person on the show is Allie, newcomer oh, Allie.
She is witchy. She's a witch. She's a witch. She loves tarot. She's connected. She sees. Witches of WeHo are, I don't think, can see past the trees. You know, they can't see the forest for the trees. They are thinking about their next book deal. Like,
yeah,
except I do absolutely stand Music Kills Kate. Like, Kate has, truly Katie has risen above. What a glorious season for her.
She's literally risen from the ashes wearing truly, a beret. And she said, I'm going to,
yeah,
when she said, I'm going to drive a train through your whole, like, restaurant.
Iconic. When she said, I hate you more than you will ever know.
Like, she said, I think you're drunk. I think you're pathetic. And I think you're a loser.
That was Chekhovian to me.
Or she called him a drunk, which is harsher drunk than saying you're drunk. You're a drunk.
A drunk. Like, that is different. That is like a guy in the 70s showing up at like the shithole bar on Christmas Eve, yes, not being with his family. He is a drunk. And that is no, who Tom Schwartz is.
It's true. Tom Schwartz is like a slack-jawed yokel who's been drinking moonshine for like 5 days in a row and is like, strumming a band. Strumming a banjo with like a missing shoe, like singing oh a song God, about fucking nothing. He's like the guy in
Yoko Loko, Pee-wee's, yeah,
he's the guy in Pee-wee's yes, Big Adventure on the train. I'm that's like you. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
Yeah, honestly though, he is. I just like I don't trust anything he says.
Am I crying?
I don't know, but never. Myself. I love that. I didn't even blink. I was like, of course we're gonna use the term slackjawed, and then we're also going to talk about Pee-wee's Great Adventure. I didn't even blink. I just kept going. I was like, yes, this is the content.
Oh my God, sobbing.
But truly, like I don't trust anything he says. He is so shifty. He also doesn't keep eye contact. And I can't wait for it to come out how long he knew about this, because I think it was a whole motherfucking time.
I think so, too.
And I think he kissed her. I do, too. I think they kissed on the show knowing that they were fucking. Like, knowing that Tom and Raquel and Rachel
so
put some respect on her real name, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. I really wish Rachel. The anyways, only version of this in which I would be like, okay, Tom Schwartz, I see you.
Yeah.
Is if this was actually like a secret love affair between the Toms yes, and Raquel was the decoy and they had a full Brokeback Mountain arc.
Oh, I just got chills.
My I know where they were hard, actually in love and they were like, no one's going to support our love like because of our homophobic society. Let's use Raquel, who's a dum-dum, as a pawn. And I would be like, that is a beautiful love story.
Honestly, I think that's hot. I have full body chills.
I know.
That's the only way I could support it. But you know
but
what?
Either way, Ariana got fucked, which I don't appreciate.
Yeah. And Ariana would support it.
I know. Ariana would be like, rock and roll.
And now Sandoval's out from the dark and he is messy as fuck. I saw a clip of him, talking as hard on a podcast. And he was like, and then Ariana punched me in the face. And then she forced me to stay in this relationship with her. Like, fucking, yeah. I was like, God, you were just like grasping at straws.
No,
bruh.
You know, when someone is like, grasping. They, you know, they're like, when a little kid is lying because they make up too many details, they're
yes,
like,
yes,
and
yes.
then Trenton, pushed Trenton. Me and then Trenton. He took my train. And then it started raining and it's yes. like, kid, you're fucking no. lying.
Just say
you
he pushed
Trenton
me.
In the sandbox. You started it. I fucking know what I'm reading between the lines. I can see the forest through the trees. I too am a witch.
Yes, I too am a witch. Witches, The Witches by Roald Dahl. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Which, fun fact, is a book about anti-Semitism.
I didn't know that.
The witches represent Jews.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. I killed Why your childhood a little gotta, bit.
No, I that book terrified me. No, but yes, also, fuck Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl's fucked up, isn't he?
He's super fucked up. Ah, but you know what, Roald, and sucks. Yet we're still making content out of his stuff.
Fucking Matilda.
A little bit naughty.
Yeah.
A little bit naughty.
DJ James Kennedy.
I want to see DJ James Kennedy. I'm sorry. This all started with I said, okay. This makes me feel Randy. And you said, yeah. you know, it makes me feel Randy. I want to see James Kennedy and Allie dressed up as Austin Powers and Vanessa yes. for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Should I message James Kennedy and tell him
you
that?
Should. Do
like,
it.
You guys would be so
XOXO.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I will. Because I yeah. feel like that would work out really well. Like, James would be really hot as Austin Powers. I would be like, just one note, like, don't wear the fake teeth. Like, just no. look hot in the Austin Powers costume.
Just look with, hot. Like, don't even wear a wig. Just like,
don't even wear yeah. a wig. Just wear the suit and the glasses.
Yeah.
And then yeah. And then have Allie dress up as Vanessa in the little silver dress. She would look so cute.
She would look really cute. She's a pixie.
She's yeah. She's a little Dolly.
Just a Dolly okay. Girl. Okay. We have to start. We okay. like, literally must.
We literally must. We're on a time crunch.
Okay. But speaking of theater, how to succeed in Bassness?
I tried out for this play in college, and I had a really bad cold that I was not skilled enough to sing through for my sing audition. But I will so say, hard. I crushed the dance audition. We did a dance song. It's like, if I can't take my coffee break. Yes. And it was like very Fosse yes. choreography. And I yes. fucking slayed.
You crushed.
Boots down, Houston, I'm deceased.
Boots down. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's a hard musical. Not an easy.
No.
Not an easy one.
Yeah. It's Halloween.
Also, it's Halloween.
Sorry, yes. what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say it's Halloween. Also, this was rated TV-14. I said, okay.
Oh, because of Hilary Duff.
Because of Hilary Duff and her set. I still don't know the name of that show. I kept calling it.
Endless like, Nights.
Thank you. I was like, the goddamn vampires.
Mm-hmm.
The Knights Sexy of vampires. The Vampire Table. Okay, so it's Halloween. Yes.
I please. Love Rufus's. Rufus is like one of us. He's one of the girlies when it comes he's to his obsession girlies. With Halloween. He's
loves
like,
loves Hallows.
He's carving yeah. kiss pumpkins. He's super Obsessed. Proud. And then cut to Lily, who wants Jenny to purge her closet for all her new things. She's like, Jenny, does this even fit you anymore? And she holds up her old school uniform that she like doctored up. And Jenny's like, yes, perfectly. It does. And puts it back in her closet.
But my dream to have Lily V go through my closet, she would throw everything away. Same. Except for maybe a coat.
Same. She'd be like, this white t-shirt has pit stains. And I'll be like, Lily, I don't want to buy another one right now. Like, yeah, stop, put it down.
I don't have $50 for a white tee. Okay. I
mean, now we said it.
Now we said it. B and Chuck are at the new hotel that he acquired, and his Travelocity ? Score is as low as the Holiday Inn at LaGuardia. Yikes. And B is like, she was like, who needs the huddled masses? Reference to Shakespeare. And Chuck is like, I need them. Me, bro. I need them to fill the hotel at the holidays. And B pushes him to open the club early, and Chuck is in a mood. Like, he is very stressed. He is not interested in her antics. And B said, I said I was sorry for my transgression and you forgave me, right? And Chuck says, sorry, with all my assets tied up in the hotel, I've been on edge. People think I'm playing a game and they want me to lose. I have to prove I'm not Bart Bass's son. And B is like, listen, you're really sexy when you're legitimate. And Chuck leaves to go meet his accountant. He's like, you understand, I have to do this my own way. But then B calls someone to book them for the opening of the new club. She's not listening. Blair chose violence this week.
She's in a
chaos.
Really frustrating place as a character. But I'm yeah, like, whatever.
I know. I don't love this season for her as hard.
I know. But I do love that she's fucking over Serena this episode. I think it's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, that was fun. I think it's funny.
I think it's hilarious. Meanwhile, at the loft, Nate brings Dan Olivia's movies, DVDs, I should say. And Nate doesn't think Dan will be able to handle watching Olivia have steamy vampire sex with her co-star slash ex, Patrick. Mm-hmm. And Nate is secretly very into Endless Nights Reddit, which he hasn't admitted that on the show, but he knows so much about the lore and who's dating who. And that's very hot to me that he's like low-key a nerd. And Dan's like, well, me and Olivia have Halloween plans tomorrow, so like maybe we'll have sex. And then a Gigi blast comes out about showing that Olivia was spotted delicately reaching into the free condom cookie jar at NYU. And even Perez Hilton knows.
Remember Perez Hilton, period.
Literally. And now he's always doing podcast appearances being like, I feel sorry for what I did. So anyway, I know secret stuff about Britney Spears. And I'm like, Perez, shut the fuck up.
He was so mean to Rumor. I'll never forgive him.
We love Rumor. Father, son, and house of Rumor. Oh, my God.
She just had a baby.
Congratulations to friend of the pod, Rumor Willis.
We love. S is throwing her dry cleaning down in the office. Also, like, seeing Serena in an office is truly laughable. Like, it makes zero sense.
It literally feels like a kid, like, playing work. It's like,
she's like, and then I bought my little briefcase, and then I opened up my pencil jar. Like, it's just like, what is this? And Casey is like, what the hell is this Perez Hilton blog? And S is like, I'm assuming that Olivia wants to practice safe sex. And Casey is like, assuming you haven't taken care of the Dan Humphrey situation. Not dating Olivia is the nail in Patrick's irrelevant cultural coffin, something like that. And apparently he is on the way to Mark Hamillhood, which honestly, put respect on Mark Hamill's name. I was fucking mad. I was fucking offended. How dare you say that Mark Hamillhood, how dare you compare Star Wars to Endless Nights, you dumb bitch.
I literally have a note, just a bullet that says, you okay, Tyler?
No, I was fucking furious. You know, and you know who came out just so on top is Mark fucking Hamill. He said, I'll be in the biggest franchise of all time. And then guess what? I'm going to be rich for the rest of my goddamn life.
Yeah.
And I'll get to live my life, come back in these fucking sequels and be chill. And then I come onto TikTok and like, I am a granddaddy of TikTok. Like, he's everything. And
he was playing the long game.
He was. That is my dream. Long con in the industry. Long con.
Matchstick Men, starring Nick Cage and Sam Rockwell.
Full circle. And S is like, if you want them to break up, you need to do that yourself. And Casey's like, Olivia isn't taking my calls, so you can either do something or deliver James Franco's underwear for the rest of your life. Gross.
Ugh. Little Jay and Eric are walking to school talking about Halloween plans. A surprise to no one, Rufus is a Halloween boy, as we established. So they have to find a party. Otherwise, he'll make them dress up as like Octababies and hand out candy. Yes. Then Little Jay's minions bring her yogurt and they're like arguing like amongst themselves, like, oh, there was some yogurt missing last time. Like, you need to make sure it's right this time. And so one of the minions is like, Jenny, here's your yogurt. And Jenny's like, do these almonds have skins on them? And they're like, ugh. And Little Jay's like, fix it immediately. Otherwise, you're going as the Real Housewives of New Jersey for Halloween. And I was like, I don't know why that's a punishment. I call Caroline Manzo.
Yeah, right. I'll call Dina. Yes.
Oh, Dina.
Dina. Or Dolores.
Oh, Dolores. Hottest person. Reason hottest that I breathe.
Person. Oh, and Little Jay asks Eric and his boyfriend. Oh, also the minions leave. They come back within seconds. Did you have a paring knife on you? You just skin these almonds real fast.
Bring them right back. There's a prop master who said, okay, here, now run back into the shop.
Exactly. And Little Jay asks Eric and Jonathan to move down so her minions don't see them. And Jonathan is like shook by this. And Eric is like, that's just a mask she wears for school. And Jonathan says, that mask is becoming her face. Face Off, starring
Jonathan. This is a Nicolas Cage podcast. I can't stress that. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah.
Jonathan's acting was in a genre of his own. Meanwhile, Nate and Dan are watching Olivia's steamy vampire sex movie, and Nate is like side-eyeing, like checking in with Dan, like, like he thinks this is hilarious, which I love. Yeah. And then Olivia starts to horny levitate, and Dan is super self-conscious and jealous. And then Olivia calls and to talk about their plans, and Dan like violently fakes a cough and he's like, I have the flu. I'll call you in a couple days. And I'm like, Dan, get a grip. And I say that, but also I'm psycho and jealous and I probably wouldn't be doing very well either.
like, I was like, okay, but if the person I was into was dating, like, I don't know, Ana de Armas or had, and they had a really hot sex scene. So imagine I'm now dating Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's it.
Picture it. Picture it. And then I'm like, fuck, okay, well, I'm never going to feel as hot as Ana de Armas. So I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it. S and B are together, and B has grand plans for Chuck's club opening. And S says, didn't he want to wait until after the holidays to open the club? And B says, well, that's what he said, but he'll change his mind when he sees my plan. And I said, this stresses me out. Mm-hmm. B is also like handling Cartier gift boxes, seemingly, like, and I was like, classic dream. Mm-hmm. S answers the phone and it's Chuck. She puts him on speakerphone and he's like, are you alone? And he says, I need a new publicist because I want to open the club tomorrow on Halloween and I don't want Blair anywhere near it. And S abruptly hangs up and says,
oh, I'm so sorry. Chuck clearly hasn't forgiven you.
Meanwhile, Chuck is at the club working to get it open and he's sipping on a moonshine martini, which is so aggro. He's like Tom Schwartz, slack-jawed yokel, sipping on a moonshine martini.
Slack-jawed yokel title of it.
Nate visits to see what Chuck is up to, and Chuck says that he and Blair aren't in a fight, but they have an ongoing detached trust. And I'm like, yikes. And meanwhile, Blair is spiraling to S about Chuck's secrecy. She's like, I can't believe he chose you over me. And S is like, please keep your voice down. Casey can't find out about this party until I make it amazing. She'll try to take it away. So like, S is at her desk, like typing, answering phones, full how to succeed in business. Like, yeah. Hello.
Yeah, she was like, I love when she took like a business call. Yeah. Like, she was like, hello, what are you doing? Oh no, bye bye. And like, I was like, what are you talking about?
She's like, send the papers to the print. Bye.
Yeah.
Send it to print immediately.
And Blair is like fixated on like Chuck being mad at her over the fact that he kissed a guy for her. And S is like, you dumb bitch. This is not about him kissing a guy. Like 1-800, no one cares about that. This is about like, you broke his trust. And Blair's plan is to demand that he let her help him. Yeah, S is like picking up the phone being like, oh yes, okay. And she's like, we have to clear a liquor license in 24 hours. Chuck has other things going on. Oh. And Blair pretends to accept. She's like, you're right. It's about Chuck and it's not about me. I'll go home. But as she turns to leave, she like smiles into the camera mischievously.
No, no, no. Meanwhile, Vanya and Foofist. And I was like, Vanya, love him.
Cutie.
Vanya and Foofist show up at the VDW's residence and he has a bag of Dylan's candy bar. Said, thank you, 2009. That was the only place I wanted to go ever because of this show. Mm-hmm. And Lily is like, oh, well, I didn't think you'd get all of this because we're going to the opening of Chuck's club. And then Foofist says, he's like, oh, no, we're not going to the club. And Lily says, oh, but I already got costumes. And Fufa says, well, didn't you tell me not to embarrass the kids? And Lily's like, well, that's when you wanted us to dress up as the Ramones. This is a prohibition party, classy and elegant. And she apologizes to Vanya. And Vanya's like, oh, no need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to Fufus when he realizes there aren't any damn trick-or-treaters in this building.
Devastating. Fufus. Meanwhile, on the steps, Jenny is being a bitch about the costumes her minions are wearing to the party. And she's like, I'm wearing vintage Gautier. And then in a moment of rebellion, Jonathan marches several steps above Jenny on the Met steps. And Jenny flips and sends the minions to dump yogurt on both him and Eric, which is so fucking mean. Fucking angry in this episode. Same. I really, we'll get to it later, but like, poor Jonathan, I really felt for him.
Same. And I was like, I would be Jonathan and Eric. You know, I was like, oh, it's so clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would be Jonathan and Eric.
I wouldn't be brave enough to like step out. I would sit on the bird poop steps.
Yeah, same. I'd like to think I would, but let's be real.
Or I'd be like, maybe I could do it with you guys.
Please.
And Jenny would be like, no, go back to theater. Go back to the theater department.
Go back to the theater department. Olivia shows up at the loft. Go back and sing Glamorous by Fergie in the acapella group. Glamorous.
Lossy, Lossy.
Olivia shows up at the loft and she confronts Dan about him being weird. And then there's, she was like, is this about the cookie jar photo? And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then
the condom.
Thank you. I was like, when was she talking about cookies?
Cookies?
And where were they from? And then she sees the DVD of her movie and pushes play. And she goes, flu, as in Patrick Roberts flu. What the blogs don't know is that that relationship was only for publicity. And they agree to meet up at Chuck's club opening.
The like plans to have sex after a club opening is like, I want to say it's so high school, but honestly, I wouldn't know because I didn't lose my virginity until after college. But like, it's giving very like high school vibes of like, it's giving, now we'll have sex for the first time.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre. Casey is pissed about the club of it all and fires Serena for like the fifth time. And S is like, no, I only did it to try and get Olivia and Patrick back together. And she's like, Olivia's coming alone. And Casey's like, really? Olivia's coming alone? And she's like, yeah. So S is like bugging. And they're like, she's like, I have to get Patrick to the club opening so that he and Olivia can make an appearance together so that Casey does not fire Serena.
Meanwhile, Chuck is waiting on his liquor license and he is encouraged by Horace. We love Horace. Not to consider opening. He's like, yeah, you should not consider doing that without a license. And then he gets a call that says the license has been approved, while B gets a text from Jack Bass because he made the license happen. We hate Jack. God. Meanwhile, Foofus is one of the many Ramones, I guess. And Lily is like, don't get your hopes up too high. Can't remember the last time we had trick-or-treaters. And Eric comes in and Lily says, Eric, my darling, why are you home so early? And Eric just says, ask Jenny.
Ominous. I was obsessed with Rufus's Lord Farquaad wig.
Oh my God. It was giving Farquaadian. It was perfect.
Nothing makes me laugh harder than Lord Farquaadian.
Wait. It's so good, though. It's so good. Also, Shrek hits.
It hits every time. That? Also, did you know part of why Lord Farquaad's name is what it is? No. Say Lord Farquaad with a British accent.
Lord Farquaad.
It sounds like Fuckwad.
Fuckwad. Lord Fuckwad.
Isn't that fucking hilarious?
That's like, great.
That was for the
That's
parents.
That's so classic.
Lord Fuckwad. It's so
Lord
funny.
Lord Fuckwad.
Dorota and Blair are getting mani-pedis. And Dorota, I am Dorota when I get a pedicure. She's extremely ticklish when they're like scraping the bottom of her foot.
Yes.
And then Chuck shows up to Blair's dorm with a gift. And Dorota is relieved. She's like, oh, Mr. Chuck, when you and Miss Blair fight, Dorota is very tired. And Blair's like, everyone get out. And Chuck apologizes and gives her a gift. It's this gorgeous costume for his club opening. Yeah.
Wow. And Olivia and Dan are together. And Olivia's like, tell Dan he should go as a musician to the club opening, not a gangster. You have no street cred. And Dan's just like, once... He's like, hey, once in the fourth grade, I had to miss recess for breaking the rules of grammar. And I fucking died and said, kill me. Take that goddamn fedora off. You know how much I hate fedoras. Famously.
Triggered.
Only Frank Sinatra, period. The only one who should ever wear a damn fedora. Not even lesbians in 2008. And I say that because I'm queer, okay? And I maybe wore one, okay? And as tells them, that Casey
wants them to break up. But I have a compromise. Patrick is on his way here. Just walk the red carpet and act like y'all are still together.
Wouldn't it be amazing if she said y'all?
Yeah.
Y'all are still together.
And Dan's like, he's like, I don't like this. I have a gun. And I was like, whoa, gun jokes. 2009.
Yeah, it didn't age well.
Did not. And Olivia agrees and says that we're just pretending for the cameras. And Dan's like, I don't understand why you would pretend with your fake boyfriend instead of your real boyfriend. And Olivia's like, it's just the business. I really hope you'll meet up with me after. And then she leaves and sad Dan takes off this burgundy fedora so sadly and like clutches it. And like, what was the directorial choice in that moment? Like, how was that scene directed?
They're emotional, like, support fedora.
Yeah, take off your emotional. It's like Linus and his blankie. Yeah. Like, take it off. Clutch it to your clutch chest. It.
Also, the way they dressed Serena in this episode was so out of hand. It was just like
so out of
one
pocket.
Short, tight dress Jesus with her Christ. Boobs fully out, like, after another. And, like, look, like, she obviously, she looked amazing, stunning. But she looked uncomfortable. And
she
was
so uncomfortable. I hate it when they put her in the really short things that are really low cut. And you can tell she kind of hunches her shoulders so that her boobs aren't like fully out.
Yes.
And as girlies who both have boobs, we get it.
And like they were putting her in, like they put her in a necklace that ran right down her cleavage to like draw attention to it. I was like, you guys are out of hand. Meanwhile, at the penthouse, Lily gives Jenny a talking to about Yogurtgate. And Jenny's like, Well, he sat above me on the steps. And, like, he gave me no choice. Like, I had to do something. And Lily's like, yes, just like I have to do something now. And Lily's like, okay, here's the deal. You can still go to the club opening if Eric still wants to go with you. Mm-hmm. And you have to make your shitty friends apologize to Eric when they arrive. And Jenny's like, yeah, fine. Totally.
Oh, God. She should do more than that. I was hoping she was going to get fucking grounded, but that's fine.
I know. I didn't want her to. I wanted her to get grounded and then, like, sneak out.
I know. And then Chuck gets the liquor license, and the guy who hands it to him is like, yeah, anything for Jack Bass. And Chuck turns around. We think he's going to talk to Blair, but then he talks to S. And he's like, you decided to do this to impress KC. And S is like, hello,
Blair, did you call Jack?
And Chuck is like, that's the reason. And then, so then Chuck realizes that it was Blair. And he's like, that's the reason I couldn't say I love you. It's because I couldn't trust you. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And Blair says, I did this because I love you. And Chuck's like, I have a club to open and you're no longer a club. I have a club to open and you're no longer invited. And B is like, okay, S, we're leaving. And S stays with Chuck. Ultimate betrayal, truly. Dead. You're dead on arrival.
I know.
Dead.
Now, say, it's the big night, you see? The opening of the Prohibition Club.
I was like, this is perfect for us. This is literally our dream. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, Nate arrives dapper as ever. S is shoved in a skin-tight dress that makes no sense for the theme. Jenny arrives looking like Taylor Swift in gangster garb with like a red lip and like a bowler cap.
Yep.
And she explains to the minions that they have to be nice to Eric. And so does she, at least to his face. And this minion is like, sounds like you have a plan.
Yeah, she went hard on that dialogue. And B is playing chess in her dorm room as Dorota is cleaning her dorm room, which I thought was her room at her house because it's the exact same. And Dorota's like wistfully like telling her which pieces to move as she's cleaning. Such an icon. She's like, it's hard to love a powerful man. And then flowers are delivered and they aren't from Chuck. And then Blair just goes, dress now. So Blair's going. She's done.
Cut to Lord Farquaad, aka Fufus, giving trick-or-treaters candy. Lily like covertly pays off Vanya. So it's so sweet. Lily like paid Vanya to bring his kids as trick-or-treaters. Like really fucking cute. Meanwhile, at the club opening, the potty is in full swing. Mm-hmm. And there's some 2007 relevant musician. I did not know who they were. Another
I didn't.
Not.
I didn't either, but it was the song was like free from it all. It was like Bob Dylan from it all.
The music did not fit the vibe. I was like, we need like a brass band. Like, what is happening?
I kept being like, where is who's the band that covers pop songs but in an old timey way?
Oh shit!
I
don't know what they're.
They
called.
Cover like All About That Bass. Yeah, like that.
My brain went to Meghan Trainor.
You know.
I was like, oh, I was triggered.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Blair shows up to apologize to Chuck. She's like, I wanted you to see that you needed me, but you were right not to trust me. And Chuck is like, heartfelt, earnest. Let me guess, you found out the liquor license you so thoughtfully procured was a fake. And the flowers were from Jack that Blair received at her dorm. And Blair like has an idea. And Chuck's like, I already made a call. And Blair's like, okay, cool. They're on the same wavelength. She's like, I'm going to tell the paparazzi. And Chuck's like, Blair, we still have things to discuss. And Blair's beaming. And she's like, I know, but she's just excited to be like Bonnie to his Clyde.
Yes, which I like the vibe for them.
I know.
Even though it's toxic.
I know. You know, we love to see it.
Yeah. Serena still looks banging and she meets Patrick and obviously Patrick is into her. Eric is just sitting there, like watches little Jay trip in his poker hat with his martini. I said, what? He went to the casino?
Literally.
The theming is honestly flapper theme. for whatever reason, like flapper aesthetic was 2009 aesthetic, and I don't know why.
But
I
like blame no one
Jason
ever
Mraz. Yeah,
let's blame him for everything. And also it was never executed properly. Like I remember on like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there was that infamous episode where like someone had a flapper party, and Camille Grammer showed up in like a hot pink flapper costume, and I was like, hot pink didn't exist in that era.
It didn't exist, babe. You're wearing neutrals. Okay.
Yeah. Literally.
Like pre-depression.
A burgundy lip.
Yeah, a burgundy lip. Okay. We're wearing some finger waves. Little Jay like makes a joke and is like, when you got it, you got it. And Eric's like, and you don't got it, which I thought was great. And he's like, I'm sorry you had to talk with Lily. And he's like, where are your handmaidens? And then we cut, and she's like, I don't know. We cut to them. They are outside and they fucking egg Jonathan. The fuck.
I almost cried. Jonathan, he looked so cute in his suit, and then he just looked so sad.
It was so fucked up. It was really fucked up.
Really fucked up.
Sorry. And then the cops are there.
Cops come. So the cops show up.
Yes.
They're trying to close down the club. They're busting everything. Chuck and Blair do nothing because Chuck called them. Yes. Casey is blaming the whole thing on S. It's a bad look for their clients. And Blair's like, no, like, I don't give a fuck who's mad about this. I'm Team Chuck, ride or die. They're front page news. This is actually great news for the club. And S is like,
B, why would you do this to me? You knew how important it was for me to prove myself to Casey.
And B's like, remember when you chose Chuck? Now I did too.
Scandal. Scandal on the Savannah. Then Foofus is saying bye to the trick-or-treaters. And then he goes, tells Lily, he's like, you picked the perfect number of kids. And she's like, what? How did you figure it out? And he's like, well, I figured it out, you know, when kids kept saying achoo. And then I realized what is it? It means thank you.
In like Lithuanian.
In Lithuanian, yes. He was like, and then I also realized when the little Lady Gaga forgot to change her wig when she came back as Taylor Swift, which I thought was iconic and timely. Then we cut to Olivia and Dan making out. Olivia confesses that Patrick wasn't her fake boyfriend and that she lied because I care about you and I didn't want you to compare yourself to a perfectly lit, heavily edited performance. And Dan's like, well, why did you get photos with him tonight? And Olivia's like, I broke his heart when the damn vampire movies ended, so did his career. And then they make some joke about a Caitlyn Jenner biopic, which I was like, I don't even know how that was timely.
I know. It was weird because it was pre-Caitlyn.
Right. It was pre-Caitlyn.
But I think it was because the Kardashians was a big deal. I don't know. It was random.
I don't know. But Olivia's like, my plan is to tell him that the only person I want to kiss here is you. And S interrupts their kiss, sneaks them out, and then pulls back the curtain and announces them as a couple. And then JK, she's dating Patrick and they kiss. And I was like, this seems like nothing was consensual. Anyways.
So true, bestie.
I hate it here.
Chuck and Blair celebrate the success of the evening. Reservations are already up 50%. Chuck still doesn't fully trust Blair. And to prove they're a team, they're like, we should focus our duplicity on others, not each other. Then Dan and Olivia share a sweet moment now that they've gone public. They're horny and want to fuck in the dorms.
Ew, I'm sorry.
Literally, I made a note. I'm so glad I was a virgin all of college and never had sex in the dorms.
Same.
Like 10 out of 10 would choose that journey over fucking in a dorm.
Same.
Then Jenny gets a text from her minions about Operation Dillinger, aka the egging of sweet, sweet Jonathan. And she arrives home to find Eric in the kitchen. And Jenny's like, hi. So I guess that means you heard about Jonathan. And Eric is like, you could have warned him. I don't know what voice that was. And Jenny's like, you know, I have to act this way about school stuff, but I'm still your friend. I'm still your sister. We just can't let the world get confused. And Eric's like, I'm not confused. I want nothing to do with you in either world. Zing.
Zing.
Why is Eric's voice hard to do?
It is because he's like, Serena, it's like an interesting pitch. And I feel like he either speaks completely on an exhale or an inhale. I like can't figure out the placement of it.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is really hard. It's subtle, so I feel like it's hard to caricature.
Yes, you know? It's like, I'm going to Chuck. No, I'm going to Jenny. No, I'm going, where am
Same
I?
Same with Foofus. Like, he's like, who is he?
Who
like,
is
no
he?
One knows. Who is he? And S is with KC, and she's like, I'm sorry for your purse. Or
she's like, I'm sorry for your purse getting locked up, and the club, and the police, and Dan and Olivia kissing.
And KC is like, you did fine. Patrick got more attention than he's gotten in a year. As long as you get my purse back, your job is safe. Oh, and also now your job includes dating Patrick.
And S is like, I don't know if that's work.
And Casey's like, get back to me after date two.
Oh my God. Horace tells Chuck it'll take another 6 months for them to get a liquor license, and Chuck's like, I want it to be a real speakeasy with a secret password. People come in the back and they come to the club. He has like a whole like speech about what he wants it to be. Oh, and Horace is like, okay, your father would be proud. Nice, okay, nice, nice.
Really nice.
S comes back to find Casey's purse, and Blair's like, oh my God, S, like, do you want to be a publicist for like this members only club? And S has no interest. She's like, and Blair's like, but I'm giving you a chance to leave that Lizzie Grubman wannabe before you get run over. Do you remember Lizzie Grubman?
No.
She was like a big New York like PR girl at that time, and there was this MTV reality show called Power Girls about like PR girls in New York.
Oh yes.
And I loved it, and I cannot find it anywhere on the internet anyways. And S is like, listeners, you don't get it. I know, listeners, help us with this intel. And S is like, you don't get it. Casey can be a bitch because she's my boss. You're my friend. Chuck may forgive you, but I don't.
Oh. Then we get a montage. Like all good things, the witching hour must come to an end. Dan and Olivia and her hideous sheets are about to do it. And then taking off costumes are as much fun as putting them on, except for little girls who wear their costumes. And I said, okay, the train of thought on this line was not clear.
Yeah.
But little Jay throws her old clothes out of her closet and then throws her sewing machine. She goes like, and then... Because it was probably weighed as much as her, probably weighed 50 damn pounds.
I know.
Rose, she's like, and throws it on the ground and then throws herself into bed. So she is leaving that old life behind, babe. She is the queen now, honey. Wow. Can't wait.
End of ep.
End of ep, babe.
I do love Cunty Jenny. Third, I love bleep, Cunty please. Jay.
Yeah.
Fourth bleep, please. I'm happy to see her, even though I do feel bad for everything she did to Jonathan. It's just more dynamic and interesting than when her and Eric are just like, you know, kikiing and like braiding each other's hair like on the steps of the Met. Like, right, I don't need it.
Right. I need her in a Jason Mraz fedora.
Yeah.
With far too many necklaces on. And like looking very sad sack. Like, mm-hmm. I need her to be a bitch. That's what we need. It's fun.
Yeah, that's what we need.
It's exciting.
Tyler, Hannah, where can our amazing listeners find you?
OMG, H, thank you so much. Also, just a quick happy birthday this week to best friend of the pod, Hallie. What a queen.
Happy birthday, Hallie.
Thank you for your loyal listenership. We love you. Y'all can find me at Tyler McMeredith on Instagram or Tyler McMeredith on the Tiki Talks, and get ready for May, baby, because it's gonna be May and Star Wars month, bitch. Hannah, where can our amazing listeners find you? I'm sorry.
Tough act to follow.
That was, I was coming with eat my ass energy, and I'm really sorry about that.
Fist yourself.
Hannah, where can everyone... Oh my God, I'm going to pee. Where can all of our amazing listeners follow
me? Oh my gosh, thank you, T. Y'all can follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown Zero on TikTok. Check the link in my bio for my LTK and all other goodies. And if you want to leave the podcast a rating and a review, share it with a friend. It means the world to us. And thank y'all so much. And follow the Instagram at You Know You Love Us Pod.
Well,
yeah. We'll see you next week. Huh? Ariana Grande,
whoomst.
Oh, you know, love us.